All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We didn't make it very far last time in our study as we got into this third personality, if you want to call them that, that Paul talks to the Corinthians about. The first one was a natural man. Then he talked about the spiritual man in the end of chapter 2, the natural man, the spiritual man. Then he brings in what is sarkikos in the Greek, or the fleshly or carnal type of mentality. We spent some time going through this a little bit, that the fact that, just by way of review, that they were brethren, but they were carnal and they were babes. They were living as immature ones. We looked at Romans chapter 6. We looked at Galatians chapter 2 and those verses about crucifying the flesh, giving that over to the Lord, making it not have an influence in your life. And the Corinthians, again, were trying to evaluate Christianity from a worldly perspective rather than from a biblical or a spiritual perspective. They were kind of using their own mindsets, the philosophies of the Greeks, whatever else it might be, the world's mentality to try to figure out the gospel rather than looking at what Paul was trying to teach them. You know, Paul was, of course, writing these books and preaching the gospel. The gospel was being given in those early years. And instead of listening and trying to understand those things, they were kind of trying to mix in their own slant on things, which we oftentimes are so guilty of. But we ended off talking about how this is, as believers, sometimes, you know, maybe whether it's youth or just really, sometimes there's not really a dedication to God's word that there should be. And living after the flesh or following or pursuing your own desires, it's really a sign of immaturity, spiritual immaturity, being a babe in Christ. Paul mentions this in verse 1. I, brethren, chapter 3, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I would love to speak to you about spiritual things, Paul says. And the things that I gave you that were simple. Chapter 2, he says, I didn't come with great, excellent speech and all these things. I just came simply giving you Christ and Him crucified. And I would have loved to talk to you about more things, but you took that things that were so simple and you couldn't even understand those. You tried to analyze those in the world and in the flesh. And so Paul is saying, I would have loved to speak to you as unto spiritual, but I had to speak unto you as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse number 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? This is the mentality. And again, he's using this comparison of an infant versus an older. You know, maybe you've had to raise animals or things like that. I know it's probably not a very common thing to talk about these days. We lived out in the country, and my wife probably did this too, but we would have stray animals all the time coming up into our property and things, and we had farms all around us and all that. And my wife, you know, she was the great cat woman of the 90s. I don't know if any of you know that. At one time, she had 20 cats. Is that right? 19, 20? And she's like, oh, yeah, 20. Mm-hmm. Get it right. Me, personally, I don't like cats. As a matter of fact, I'm famous in science class in high school when we talk about anions and cations, which are two types of ions. Cations have positive charges. I tell the kids, a cation is positive because I'm positive I hate cats. And it just helps them remember it. I'm allergic to them. I don't technically hate them, but it's a funny joke. And then they actually remember something in science, believe it or not. You got to do what you got to do. But cats, yeah. So one time we had this mom that birthed kittens. It was just kind of in the wild, feral, whatever. And they had these little kittens. And then the mom, I think, either died or got hit by a car or something. We were always going through nightmare, tragic things like that out in the country. Dog crossing the road, getting plowed by a car, witnessing. And anyway, we get off this subject. It seems kind of gloomy. But we had these little tiny kittens. And I remember my mom got a little bottle and we tried to feed them milk, right? Any of you ever done anything like that? I know some of you have. I know Mrs. Hafner, you do the little puppies and stuff, don't you? You know all about that, or the goats and all these things people do and feed. I know Kathy did some goats and she has to bottle feed them and all those kind of things. Maybe some of you are doing that. Great, it's good for you. But they have to have milk, right? They just can't. Here's a sirloin, right? Go at it. Now, if I threw a sirloin down at my dog currently, as old and decrepit as he is, he would probably feel like he was back in being 1 year old and he would jump out of his bed, hurt himself, break his legs and devour that piece of meat. He's older. He can handle that. He wants to eat that meat. Or, you know, as a baby and an infant, they drink the milk. They're wanting to get those basic nutrients, and then they grow and develop and start eating food. And I know, I remember one time, I'll tell you this, we didn't do the baby food thing very long. I remember that. Number one, opened them little cans. I was like, this is the most disgusting smelling thing I have ever seen in my life. It's like orange and green. And the best thing probably my wife ever did was she got what was called this baby bullet. Is that what it was called? Magic bullet, baby bullet or something. And so she would put the food that we were eating in the baby bullet and go, vroom, pushed it down, this spun everything and made it like a puree. And then she would just take that and feed them. So that saved me money. I liked it. I didn't have to buy all the, going into Walmart and have a grocery buggy full of this baby food that looked and smelled weird anyway. So anyway, you have to gradually get to be able to eat the food that you need, but it takes some time. And the comparison or the analogy is, yes, as a newborn Christian, you don't understand everything about the Bible. You just don't. You don't understand everything about God and everything about theology and all the things that of who God is. But the point is, as a Christian, you want to learn those things. And it takes time. Some it takes longer. Some it takes less. It just depends on the person and their relationship with the Lord. But you're wanting to learn these things and wanting to grow from the milk to the meat. And the sad reality is maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you still might be in the little milk stage. Now, again, Paul calls these people brethren and they're believers, and you wonder sometimes about that. I'm not God. I don't know who's saved and who's not. You can evaluate things and maybe come up with a pretty good idea, but here they're carnal. You think about Lot in the Bible. Well, you want to talk about carnal. I mean, the man pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then he went and dwelt in Sodom. Then he's sitting in the gate in a position of leadership of Sodom. His whole family's messed up. It's so crazy when the angels come, he's willing to give his own daughters to him. I mean, it was craziness. And then the Lord calls him, he was a righteous Lot. You think, what in the world? Carnal, just fleshly, worried about myself and not thinking on the things of the Lord. And sometimes God has a way of doing things in our lives to kind of get our attention, to get out of the flesh. You've got to listen to those things and grow with those things. But here they are babes in Christ. They can't handle the deeper things of God's Word. And I want to talk about just a few verses tonight about being a babe or being immature spiritually. Spiritual immaturity. And again, the thing is, and I've thought about this a long time, and I don't know, maybe you've been saved for many, many years, and I know you're way more spiritually mature than I am or ever will be. But, you know, I wonder sometimes, this may or may not be a true statement, but if we really want God's Word, and if we're in God's Word and applying God's Word, can we even stay carnal? I kind of tend to believe that if we take Christianity seriously, and if we're studying God's Word, you're going to grow. So if you want God's Word, and you're going to study God's Word, and you're going to be in God's Word, you're going to grow. Now, it may take a while to get to that maturity, but you're in God's Word. And to me, the whole key to the matter for us as believers today is what we think about this book. If we really believe that this is God's Word, that it's inspired, that it's from Him, and we read it, and His Holy Spirit, as it says in chapter 2, the Spirit of God teaches us. And we learn more, and we realize, that's fleshly. That dishonors God. I'm going to put that away. And I'm going to go to and live toward this. And over time, we learn more and more and more about the things of the Lord, and we can grow into maturity. Are we ever going to be, again, to some spiritual height of maturity that, you know, we're fully sanctified, Spirit-filled, sinless perfection? You hear people talking about those things. We are going to be mature in Christ. He is what we never can be. But in the process of walking with Him and studying His Word, we realize, Lord, I want to draw closer to You. Is that truly our desire? Let's look at some verses here. We started in the book of Hebrews last time. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 5, there's three things that we're going to point out in the book of Hebrews about spiritual immaturity. And it's all kind of in a group of verses that are together beginning in verse number 12. And we barely touched on this last time. Verse 12 of chapter 5. We'll start with verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say about Melchizedek and the high priest and all the things Christ did. Hard to be uttered, difficult things to teach, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now that word dull means slow and you fail to hear. Sounds like some of us in school, right? Way back in the day when we were in school, or maybe some of you are in now young kids or something, but you know, I teach middle school and high school and all those things, and you realize real quick, which ones are dull, not in the sense of, well, not in the sense of being boring, but they're dull because they're just, huh? Well, they heard, but they failed to hear. They heard random noises coming out of the teacher's mouth, but they failed to hear. They weren't listening. And Paul is saying, you're not even listening. You don't have the ability yet because you're still a baby. You're still immature. You don't even understand what it is to listen to these things. Verse 12, for in the time you ought to be teachers, you've had enough time to grow. And now it's time for God to want you to step up. And it's time for you to be the teacher. But you have need that one teach you again. I can't think of a better thing to say to our high school students that are about to graduate. Been in a Christian school for so many years. You know all these things about the Bible. Well, now it's time to go out into life and be a teacher. Now, I know that thought scares not a teacher like in a school. Most of you are like, no, don't want to do that ever. Not in that sense, but in the sense of our spiritual growth. We ought to be at the level now where when I go out into life, I'm now going to be able to disciple somebody else. I'm going to be able to teach and help somebody else. I'm going to be able to help them in God's Word understand the things about the Lord and about His Word. You know, I'm always like hearing things about young people that have others come to them and ask them questions. We had one of our 11th graders had a boy on their, it's a that mixed high school group thing they have with soccer, and the boy went to him and asked about spiritual things. And had a bunch of questions. And our student was able to spend some time with him. He came to the pastor and got a couple little booklets. And he's going to be talking to him. He spent a lot of time on the phone and trying to help him learn about the Bible. Well, it's time to be a teacher. And he was ready. And then, you know, I've been saved for 30 years, brother. And it's time to be a teacher and we don't know what to do. It's time to disciple. Because we've got to spend the time in the Word, but a spiritual immature person can't do that. They spent all their time focused on right here, me. My flesh, my desires, what I want to do, the money I want to make, the things I want that make me feel good, the happiness that I'm trying to seek. And it's time to be teachers. We've got need that one teach us again. The first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. They have immature beliefs. Christians that are not in this book come up with some crazy ideas about God. They come up with some immature, weird things about the Bible, and they're not even studying it. They just have immature beliefs. They don't understand. They don't understand how God works. They go off on these tangents and they don't want to understand. They don't want to even talk about it. They just want to believe what they want to believe that makes them feel good in their mind. It's the first print. We got to go back and start. They have immature beliefs. Next thing, verse 13, everyone that useth milk, okay, you're a babe in Christ. You're still using milk so many years and you're still using it, but you're unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The idea there is inexperienced. Inexperienced. We don't know what to do. You know, the Bible gives us a guide for just about every situation you will ever face. You say, well, the Bible doesn't understand the things that we're going to face in this generation with all the social media and all that stuff. I think God knew that social media was going to be a thing before we did. He knows what's going to be the next thing with all this AI that's going on. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, you just go there and say, hey, go ahead. Like I think Rob and I were talking about that with even Excel has some AI capabilities or something. Hey, make me a table with blah, 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 blah. Spits it out. It just does it for you. And, you know, you're in Teams meetings and you're just telling it what to do and then Microsoft just does it all. It's the things that are progressing so rapidly and how are we going to deal with those things? The Lord knows that stuff is going to happen. He knows. He's probably orchestrating and planning everything for His Son to come return. But when God knows what's going to be going on, He gave us His Word to handle any situation we would ever face. Because Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, all, yet without sin. But here, if we aren't in God's Word, we don't understand how to act in a situation. We don't understand what the biblical response should be. So we just act on what I think, or manipulate situations, or exaggerate, make up stuff, and make it way bigger or way less than what it really is, and make things, we manipulate situations, and we're unskillful. We're inexperienced. Next, verse 14. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have it. Exercise is the idea. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you want to be able to discern right and wrong? You got to get in this right here. It's as simple as that. You're not going to understand right and wrong. You know, why are we morally bankrupt in this nation today? Because this was thrown out many, many years ago, and now it's even laughed at. It's mocked. Yeah, you know, who was it? They caught some congresswoman a couple weeks ago trying to hide the Bibles in the prayer room. Did y'all read about that? I think it was in Arizona. Trying to hide the Bibles. This book is a hate book. It hurts people's feelings. You know, we can't have this shaming that this book does. So we cut this out. We don't want anything to do with it. And then we wonder why our nation has no concept of right or wrong. How did in the days of Israel they call evil good and good evil? Because they stopped listening to the Word of God. We haven't exercised our senses. If you want to get strong, you got to work out, right? I mean, I know Jake and I were talking about this week, weren't we, Jake? Working out, and I'm catching up to him really quick over here. But if you want to get, you know, ripped, as they say, you got to get in that gym. You got to, you know, do all the things. Or, you know, if you want an expert, you go down to Planet Fitness, you get a black card, right, Kevin? Kevin got a black card. And you know why Kevin got one? Lisa goes and exercises, and Kevin goes to the massage chairs that are included with the black card. That's a smart genius. Genius. I love it. I said, I need to go. You can take a guess. I think I need to go with you one time, sit in the massage chairs and have a good time. But you can exercise, right, and keep going at it and dedicate yourself and do all the protein and all this other stuff people do, and you're building your muscles. I know that's an analogy to the spiritual things. You've got to use the Scripture. You've got to read the Scriptures. And beyond reading, you've got to study. No, you're better off, I told the kids this morning, you're better off reading and studying five verses and understanding them than going, yep, I read 10 chapters today. What'd you read? Some stuff. This Bible is here for us to learn and grow and exercise our senses. The more we read it, the more we will easily be able to see when situations happen in our life, when things come up in the world, when we're confronted with things, when we go through a difficult situation, we can easily see that's right, this is wrong. That's truth. This is error. That's what discernment means. You can differentiate. You can analyze it and say, that doesn't line up with God's Word. This does. We aren't willing to put in the time to do that because we're too busy exercising the flesh. We got that one down. We got plenty of time in the gym for ourselves, for Mr. Fleshly. Because it feels good when he gets what he wants. When we get our way, the things that make us happy, what about exercising to discern good and evil? The whole point of this is if you stay as a spiritual baby, yeah, you might be a believer, okay? You will not be able to be used of God. It's time to be a teacher. Step up. Let's go. Oh, I don't know what to do. Well, you've been in a Christian school your whole life. You've been in Sunday school and church your whole life. You said you've been a Christian since you were a little kid. Now it's time to step up and use it to be a teacher. But we haven't taken it seriously. We haven't poured ourselves into God's Word. It's all been a bunch of fluff and show and talk. And when it's time to come, we can't discern. Quickly, next one. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. People that are spiritually immature babies are easily manipulated and unstable. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more... Actually, let's We can go back. He talks in verse 11. We got the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to perfect the saints, to build up the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? That we be no more children, babies, immature, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Children are easy. Oh, let's just go to this thing. Oh, I'm tired of that after about 5 months. Let's go here. We're going to pour a bunch of money into this thing, and we're going to do this. Oh, I got kind of old real quick. Now let's run over here and try this thing. Our world is in a constant search. A search. We're going to find something. The fleshly, the unspiritual, the immature, the spiritual baby is just going with this to that. Whatever's popular at the time, we're just going to go right along with it. Then we're going to go into this thing and just kind of go right with it. We're unstable. Don't know what we believe. Don't know what we should stand on. So we're manipulated easily by everything. Some of these words, the word tossed to and fro means that you are irritated or agitated mentally. Boy, if you are not grounded in this book, you will be irritated mentally. It'll drive you crazy is the idea. It'll drive you crazy. The next word, carried about, means literally carrying around in a circle. Carrying around in a circle. Never ever advancing, never making progress, just kind of spinning like going around a cul-de-sac. You know, we got a cul-de-sac in Milton. Not a cul-de-sac, a turnaround-about. We got one in Milton. It's kind of scared me. I was like, these people in Milton don't have a clue what to do with them things. There's probably going to be more accidents there than ever. So we go on that new Pea Ridge Expressway, which is very disappointing to me. It takes about 20 seconds to go down the thing, and then it doesn't really help you get anywhere faster. Anyway, we got a roundabout. I can see it now. Get her done. There's probably going to be more accidents there than we know what to do. But carried about is the idea of just spinning around like in a roundabout. Just going right around in circles, not making any progress. But boy, this sure does feel good while we're doing it. Carried about. Don't have any. Every doctrine that comes along just going to spin us in circles. Oh, this belief and then that belief. And I tell you, I've talked to people about it before, and, you know, like I said, work out your salvation from fear and trembling. And I've talked to some people before that were adamant about certain things. And, you know, 21 years old, 23 years old, whatever. And I asked one of them one time, I said, I'm perfectly okay with you before God believing if you truly in your heart have spent the time studying God's Word to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and this is what you've come to, then that's between you and the Lord. And he couldn't answer that question. He just... Because a lot of times we don't spend the time. Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to believe that. Boy, this fits in what I want. It's all about pride. And so we grab some doctrine that sounds really good, but we haven't studied it. We haven't investigated it. We haven't poured our heart before the Lord in prayer and fear and trembling, scared to death that we're going to get it wrong. It's a different mindset. Also talks about lying in wait to deceive. That word means to scheme. A well-proposed plan, a blueprint, and the spiritual babe falls to it every time. It's one of them Satan's little, ha-ha, gotcha. He has it all set up. And because we are not in God's Word, we don't have the discernment, we haven't exercised our senses, and we just fall right for that scheme every time. Manipulation. Easily manipulated. Quickly, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, and let's look at another fact about the babe. Peter says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings," it's almost like, here's what you're doing because you're a baby. Which, by the way, that is 100% true. Verse 1, get a lot of Christians that just are full of the yappity-yap. And then they got to go on and do this. And you know, Pastor and I can tell you all about all the Facebook. He talks about it a lot because it's real. It's unbelievable. No one has the guts to come up and confront something. I'm going to make a fake account. That old gospel project. Okay, whatever. We've been called worse, haven't we, Titus? It's all right. It doesn't bother. It's whatever. It's okay. But that's a sign of you're a baby. Get upset. We're going to go into malice and envying. And what does he say here? as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. A true Christian babe desires it. You got to start somewhere. Desire it. Get into the word. And the more you go, the more you grow. And the more you grow. If so be, verse 3, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, we don't have time to get into that. When you understand God's grace, that's when the babe in Christ says, I understand what God did for me. Boy, let me get in this book more. Let me exercise my senses some more. And I am tasting and seeing that God is gracious. He's good to me. I don't deserve any of this. And the babe realizes that one point. But someone that stays fleshly and stays immature doesn't understand grace. They get mad and bitter about everything. They don't want to understand grace. And all of this leads back to 1 Corinthians as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, back to our starting point. We read this verse already. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, our last characteristic of a spiritual immature person is this right here. They're easily offended. They can't handle the truth. Paul literally says this to them. I fed you with milk, not with meat, because you were not able to bear it, and neither yet now are ye able to bear it. They hear the deeper things about God and they get mad. They get offended. God doesn't want me to do that. Well, people come up with all kinds of standards and ideas and everything because they're mad. They're offended. They don't understand God's word. They're spiritual babies. I loved when old Mike Schrock was here. He just kept saying what? Grow up! Grow up, you big baby! It just needs to be screamed from the rooftops of America. That person fat shamed me. I was telling Todd about that. It just cracked me up. I heard on last week that I saw it on a news story that they had some cartoon that was on NBC or ABC or something. It was a dog, a pet animated dog, and he stepped on the scale and he was a chubby dog. And so he said, oh, I'm overweight. All right, everybody, we're going to go on this health journey together and we're going to learn how to eat right and lose weight. You think that's a great thing for kids to see? Sure. They got mad because he was fat shaming. So they put it all over TikTok and everything, and he's fat shamed, so they canceled it. Grow up! I mean, welcome. It's like we get offended over everything because we want to be. Because we don't understand grace. We haven't gotten into this book as Christians, and so we get offended. How dare God tell me to do that? I can't do that. Why is all of, the deeper life, I'm just going to say this, the deeper life. You ever heard people talk about the deeper life? And again, we're not trying to get to some ethereal, I'm better than everybody else, whatever, spiritual. It's just a fact. I want to know more about God. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But we've kind of made it out today like, oh. We should be desiring to know more about God. The deeper life offends babies. I don't know how else to put it. The deeper life offends babies. And when God says, give me this, we draw the line and we get all upset. And then God's going to keep working on you. And He's going to say, give me that. He's going to keep working on you until you give it up. Maybe you never will, but God's going to work on you. He wants you to go deeper with Him. Why is all of this true about the Corinthians and about spiritual immaturity? It's because, chapter 3, verse 3, ye are yet carnal. You're in the pneumatikoi. You're in the Spirit as a believer, but you're trying to live through the flesh. And you got the Spirit right there. It's like Chris always says, work smarter, not harder, right? It's like, all right, boys, we're going to move this pallet that weighs 4 tons, and we're going to move it all by hand. Or we just go get Isaac's skid steer, and it's done. That's literally what it's like. We've got the skid steer right here. That's okay. I'm going to do it the hard way. I'm going to do it my way, the flesh. That's literally how illogical it is. I'm going to do what I want to do, while I'm in the Spirit of Christ. It makes no sense. They don't go together. And that's why he says, crucify the flesh. Render him inoperative. Just put him down. I'm not going to live for the flesh. One last verse. I'm gone over and I apologize. Just go to the book of Galatians real quick. You want to know how to put the flesh down? Boy, this sounds so simple and it's so hard. Galatians 5. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that sounds real easy, doesn't it? But how do you walk in the Spirit? You get in here, and you learn about walking in the Spirit, and you learn about what pleases the Lord, and you learn that it's God's Spirit giving you the strength to do what He wants you to do. And you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections, the passions, the desires, and the lusts. If you're Christ's, crucify the flesh. Don't let it have dominance in your life. It's going to try to rear up its head every day. It's going to try to control you every day and say, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to make that choice through the Spirit's power to not live that way, but to live what honors the Lord. Father, just forgive us for our fleshliness, our mindsets that's so much about ourselves so frequently, and we're staying as like little babies. Lord, we need Your strength. You've given us Your Spirit. You've given us the Word, and You've given us the ability to understand the Word through the Spirit. But Lord, how often we think we got it on our own. We're just going to take care of things. We're going to just deal with this issue on ourselves. Lord, forgive us. What foolish thinking to think that we have it better somehow with our own strength. Lord, help us to crucify the flesh each day, die daily, and to live for You. Thank You that You've given us that strength to do so through Your Spirit. Pray Your blessings now in Christ's name. Amen.